Economic growth has changed the lives of many Indians, and nowhere is that more obvious than in the city of Mumbai, also known as Bombay. It's India's richest city, and many of its inhabitants are riding on a tide of urban prosperity, with millions spent on luxury homes, smart cars, private schools, holidays abroad, and exclusive brand clothes. But if on one hand Mumbai is home to incredible opulence among its wealthier inhabitants, there is also abject poverty and squalor. Around half of the city's 17 million population live in slums or on its pavements. There are scores of such slums dotted around Mumbai, prompting the Indian media to dub the city Slumbai. The slums are filled with garbage and open sewers, and there is no safe drinking water, proper sanitation, or health services for the inhabitants. But why is there such a striking divide between the rich and poor in Bombay? And what is being done to try to lessen these glaring social inequalities? Well, to find out more, Susie Hodges spoke to Monsignor Felix Machado, Secretary of the Pontifical Commission for Interreligious Dialogue. He is a native of Bombay and returns to the city often. He says, unfortunately, the disastrous situation in his home city is by no means unique in this globalized world.
I think that is a world phenomenon. If we go to see, most of the rich places have side by side poor people. Bombay perhaps presents to us the stark contrast, also because India economically is a poor country. Perhaps it comes in the developing nations. And so the contrast of the city of Bombay as one of the richest places in India, which also contains the poorest of the poor.
In fact, many social activists are saying that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Do you think there is some truth to that?
There is some truth to that. And again, I want to say that it is the result of the so-called globalization without solidarity that the world has been pursuing. In Bombay, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer is very much true, I must say. Also because a lot of poor people from around the areas, even from throughout India, are flocking to Bombay thinking that they will make themselves rich out of poor. And so there is that kind of a promise, perhaps a false promise, that the city of Bombay gives to people, and people just keep coming and Bombay keeps swelling.
But as you say, alongside these poor people are these very rich people, and I gather that some of them live in incredible opulence. I mean, what is their lifestyle like?
I have been scandalized, I must say, sometimes by seeing the richness of the city. In fact, the rich are in a poor country like India, try to also show off. You know,
very ostentatious.
It is the richness that has scandalized me, I say, because I lived in cities of rich countries like New York, and I have seen rich apartments on west side or east side of Central Park there. And when I see the rich people in Bombay, in some of the rich zones of Bombay, I am scandalized because they are not even aware that side by side there is so much poverty there.
Now, talking of this poverty, I gather that the government in recent months has demolished thousands of shanties to spruce up the city, to make it look cleaner and more modern. What is happening to these people whose shanties have been destroyed?
The situation is quite complicated. The project of demolishing slums came about because I think we are also in competition with China. there is that latent pride of the Indians, and rightly so, to affirm themselves not lacking behind China and its progress. And so there was this famous slogan that we started saying in Bombay, let's make Bombay or let's make Mumbai a Shanghai. And the people who live in Bombay obviously have been feeling the need for a clean city, because I have experienced, for example, traveling by train and seeing people early in the morning, even women sometimes, you know, who have to go for defecation. The open-air toilets, for example, we feel ashamed of ourselves, you know, that people in the 21st century would not have toilets for their natural needs.
So you're saying you see people that are there who are
Early in the morning, defecating by the rail side, sometimes by the highway, and people who squat on the by the road, you know, and just make their inhabitat there. You know, they put two sticks and some cardboards, and that becomes their permanent home, as it were. And the slums just mushroom; they grow. And the whole city looks like a big slum.
In fact, I gather that its nickname now is Slum Bay, because it, as you say, it houses, in fact, Asia's biggest slum, doesn't it?
Yes, it has Asia's biggest slum. And there are bright sides to all this. I think, you know,
Such as the
people trying to clean up, people trying to get organized, the city becomes more organized, more clean, the city becomes less of a danger from so-called the underworld, mafia, or people who rob, people who live by terrorizing and robbing other people. You know, all these things, I think, have to be seen to, and that is happening. The efforts are being done. But also, the solutions, too simplistic solutions, are also kind of applied. You know, people are sometimes simply displaced without taking into account what will happen to them. And that's where I think the injustices grow.
And what are these slums like? I mean, tell me something about the conditions there.
The slums are really very, very inhuman kind of conditions to live in. People just put four sticks and then some kind of cardboard or cloth, and they make it kind of a private place for them. Another person comes and adds to that and lives there. Third person comes and adds to that and lives there, and it just goes on growing that way.
Are there any latrines?
There are no latrines. Sometimes if there are latrines, people will have to queue up and wait in line for a couple of hours. The slums are where there is no water. So there are public taps, and water would come at certain hours of the day or certain hours of the night. And sometimes the tap water would be available between, say, 2 to 3 in the morning.
So people would be getting up.
And so people have to get up, queue, you know, and fill in the water for the rest of the day, until next morning between 2 and 3. Indian people by nature are clean people. They like cleanliness. And so they will try to make their little square foot of land as clean as possible. But all around is so dirty, and the whole city becomes like a big latrine. Now, the problem is also the daily immigration of people
from
rural areas, but even throughout India. Everywhere in India would just flock to Bombay.
They see it as the promised land.
They see it as the promised land, and they think that tomorrow or day after, they will also be one of the rich people.
And a very warm thanks there to Monsignor Felix Machado, Secretary of the Pontifical Commission for Interreligious Dialogue. He was speaking there to my colleague, Susie Hodges.